We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky. Broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplified. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Now here's Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mudnatsky.
Rich Keefe on the bye, Mutt and Fourier, NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI. There are a couple big stories this morning, but the biggest story might be, is Fourier going to L.A.? Is the afternoon show now going to the World Series, Christian Fourier? Good morning.
Play me some LL Cool J. Come on, where's my going back to Cali? Like, there it is. Thank you. Right on cue. What's up, Mutt? We're coming back.
Let's go.
Cali. Cali. Oh, man, I don't think so. Yes.
Dodgers hat what, on, get the window down. Let's go.
Man.
Come on.
Yeah, cruising down. I'm ready, man.
Are you going to L.A.? Is the afternoon show, can you confirm, OMF to L.A. for the World Series?
Well, wait.
Look at Garvin. Garvin's face. He has no
I know glue. Nothing.
No, nobody knows. All I know, I didn't even watch that game last night. I don't know about you. I didn't want to see it. After they lost on Friday, I was like pissed. I was like, screw this. Like, I knew it was going to happen. You know when you want something so badly? Like it just doesn't happen, right? So I had to act like I didn't give a crap, and then they won, so it worked out. Man, I hope so. I hope we're going because I get dinner at Mama's house. I got friends to see. I'm gonna go riding down Santa Monica Boulevard. I'm gonna go to Santa Monica Pier. I don't know. I don't know if I have enough time. I'm gonna go to In-N-Out. I'm going to go to every little hot spot that I grew up jonesing for, and then I'll send you pictures.
You should be there. Garvin, so you've heard nothing about this? No news?
Nothing officially, no.
Because Lou's doing the games, right? Now that they're – I think
Lou's
he's doing
go
all the
way.
World Series games.
Yeah, I think Lou's going to go either way. So
you're sending one-third of the team already. You pay regular air flight for Fourier, which won't be that expensive. And then the good deal that you get, you can use Glenn as a carry-on. Like, he doesn't cost anything. He's so small that there's actually no fee for Glenn to fly. Just say, here's my little carry-on right here, and it's free, so it saved the company money.
You know what he'd actually be better served as? You know, like, you can bring anything on a plane now if you just say you need it as a comfort animal.
I have fat
so
feet.
We could say, like, oh, listen, sir, what is that? Oh, that's an Ordway. Well, what's an Ordway? Well, it's indigenous to the Northeast region. Usually, don't feed it. It's like a gremlin. Don't feed it after midnight. Or it'll turn into a psycho. It turns into Smurlus if you feed it after
midnight.
Uh-oh,
you got water on the Ordway.
Yeah. Come on now. Holler back.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just need it for my comfort. Yeah, you bring peacocks, bears, dogs, you name it. You can bring anything on a plane now if you bitch about it enough.
I am so horny.
And they can't say no.
That's very
so we should be going.
I know you guys should be going. I'm pushing for that. I want to be the first show that pushes for that. So you'll find out.
Well, and I appreciate that because here's the thing.
Milwaukee, screw it. But this is L.A. This is Fourier's backyard. This is Hollywood. I mean, this is it's big time next weekend out there.
Yeah, but what's the difference between this and the Super Bowl, right? I mean, you go to the Super Bowl, right? The Patriots go to the Super Bowl. We end up going to Atlanta if they go, as every single show goes. So if the Red Sox are in the World Series, yes, I get it's three games. But it's three in a row. It's not like you have a break. It's actually cheaper to send us out to L.A. than it would be the actual Super Bowl. Because now, I've never been to a World Series before. Maybe you can tell me.
I have been, yes. Sure. I went in 2013, yeah.
Okay. Is it like the Super Bowl as far as, like, traffic, media credentials, hecticness, you know, like events, like the whole, you know, five blocks are blocked off? Like, is it like that? Or is it just like a normal, like, game?
Well, so at Fenway, it is hectic because the traffic around Fenway is always awful. But for on the road, so in St. Louis, they did a big block party. They closed off the area around that ballpark. But we didn't drive at all. They put us right near, you know, the ballpark. So you walked around. It is nowhere near the energy and the excitement of a Super Bowl. I mean, it ain't even close. Compare the two.
So it's not like the hotels, like every single hotel is gouging you, right? And like triple the price.
Oh, I think that still happens, especially in L.A. But I did the there's no there's not that same buzz, at least from, in my opinion, the Super Bowls I've been to versus being in St. Louis for the Super Bowl. The buzz was not the same in and around the ballpark where the game's going to be played. There's no special area. There wasn't in St. Louis where, oh, here's the fan center. No, it's just downtown St. Louis, and they get a couple blocks squared off, and you know they got barbecue and music and all that crap. But it's not like the Super Bowl.
See, I don't think L.A. could do that because L.A. is literally, so based on where the stadium is, there's so many different directions you can go in a 20-mile radius, right? You can literally be so far away in a completely different community.
It's not downtown. The Dodger Stadium is not downtown L.A., right? It's like 40 minutes outside.
No, it is not. Yeah, it's outside of L.A. But when you look at the map, when you see where the stadium is, like you could be in, you know, you could be in Long Beach. You can be in, Santa Monica. You can be in the Valley. You could be east in Riverside. There's so many different areas. You could be south down to Orange County. And literally 20 to 25 miles, but that'll take you 2 hours because of the traffic. But I don't see people getting gouged because, listen, you don't want to get gouged. You just stay 30 miles north, and then you will get a normal, nice hotel. So I challenge everybody to go.
You should go. See, you got to – bam. I want Ordway at LA Live. I want Dodger Dogs. I want
– I saw Magic. We're good friends. Yeah, but here's the thing with him. Knowing his ass.
To come out here with the Lakers. Just like
I know the Walton boys. Well, I saw him grow up.
We'll go see a Warriors game.
I'm unbelievable.
Guys, I got an in with Jerry West.
I talked to my buddy Danny Ainge. He's going to get us in one of those Laker games.
Yeah. And Davios is in Orange County now. I got us a dinner.
Evaldi's got to live at 94.
I love Ordway. Ordway on baseball is great.
There's nobody better. It's too bad you guys have like a baseball.
Up and in, and he's scared.
You got to change speeds, Christian. Change speeds.
He threw his changeup 42% of the time.
So I don't think they'll send the entire station because the time difference, especially for the morning show, is not going to work. You're not going to do a show at 3 in the morning.
That's that would suck.
That's not going to happen.
Well, in Arizona, they were doing it early.
That was only what? That was 2 hours, an hour.
Yeah, it was only an hour.
That was an hour, and true. It was a Super Bowl. This is the world. This would be, especially, these would be weekend shows, right? It'd be Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah,
so
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And maybe Monday. Who knows?
It's a little bit different. But this is by far, if you were a baseball executive, if you invested your time or efforts and you care about the sport, the ratings, and all that crap, this is a 10 times better matchup on paper, the buzz, everything for it. Get ready for Manny Machado talk all week. Mm-hmm. We hate Manny Machado. Dave Roberts coming back. I mean, there are legit storylines. And, oh, by the way, if the Red Sox win, they will have gone through the 100-win Yankees, 103-win Astros, mm-hmm. And the team, the defending world champ Astros, and the team that lost the World Series in 7 games last year, the Dodgers. This has a chance to set up pretty nice if you're a Red Sox fan, and certainly if you're a baseball wonk, you got the buzz you want with Boston and L.A. in this World
Series. Yeah, and you also got Biggie versus Tupac. I mean, we can start that debate all over again.
Well, that's not really a debate. It's Biggie. I mean, I'm not.
I'm good either way. See, I'm not one of those guys. Like, I'm West Coast, but I'm not going to sit there and act like I hate on Biggie. I mean, they're both great. I just want everyone to get along.
Tupac's still alive.
Oh, of course he is. Of course
I heard that.
I saw the hologram at Burning Man. Yeah, he's
oh, man. So what a great weekend that's going to be, though, when you think about it, because you got those 3 games, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the Patriots play Monday.
That's a Monday night game. Monday against Derek Anderson and the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, my God, that's right.
That's a terrible Monday night game.
It is. When I think about it, like, here's the thing, and I said this earlier in the week, it's great timing for the Red Sox, and maybe it wouldn't even matter because it's just I think their story is really great. They're just they're an exciting team to pay attention to, and the way they're playing it's exciting. And the fact that the Patriots are pretty much taking second place, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they won three games in a row. 38 points, 38 points, 43 points. And they ended that last game against the Chiefs, scoring those 43 points in such a close game on Sunday night. I think everyone kind of feels like, all right, they're back. We don't
Absolutely.
Need to worry about them right now. Let's think about them, November 1st, because the last game of the World Series will be,
Halloween night, game
Halloween
7.
Halloween night,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah,
please
so we'll
don't,
worry
please
about
don't go
them
seven games. Please don't go yeah. 7 games on this series.
Yeah, so it's funny. So all eyes on the Sox.
It's last.
Even today, too.
Today's all eyes on the Patriots because they'll get to play without the. And there actually is some drama today with the Patriots, which we'll get to. But overall, you're right, Christian. I didn't think. I wasn't sure because in years past, even when the Red Sox have made World Series runs, the Patriots are still a very close 1A to the Red Sox 1. It has not been that case, and I think you just nailed it. There is a lack of drama right now overall with the Patriots because, yes, the games have been competitive, but A, they've righted the ship, and B, nobody believes that by the end of the season, they're not going to be the 1 or 2 seed in the AFC, right? There is no drama like, boy, if we lose this game to Chicago or even the Jacksonville loss, it seems like forever ago that game was even played. It doesn't matter now because they basically caught up to them and a half game up in the standings now for the AFC. And so that drama is on the Red Sox side. There is very little drama with the Patriots right now. They've righted the ship. They look like the Patriots for the most part.
Yeah,
that's
no, I totally agree with you. When you think about what happened with the Jaguars, right? Their offense sucks. Their defense is getting pushed around and getting scored on. And you're sitting there going, all right, now the world is on its right. It's in its right place, right? The Patriots are good. You're not worried about them. The AFC East still looks like crap.
Sure does.
Buffalo is just, I don't know what they're doing. The Jets, they'll be respectable for a small part of the time. The Dolphins will probably finish 7-9, 8-8. But again, status quo. It's just here we are again. It's less about what they're going to do during the year. It's just like who is going to be the team that's going to challenge them. That's what it's more about. So I almost focus less on the Patriots, and I focus more on, okay, who's going to be a challenge for them? What type of team can beat them? What type of team has not only the skill set, right, that has the right coach, that has a set of balls, that isn't afraid to be aggressive and take risk, calculated risk, right, not be careless and reckless, and then, has a defense that's not just terrible, right, because you just need to be middle of the road with them. You don't need to be the 85 Bears, just middle of the road, but you have to have an offense that's competent and a coach that, like Doug Peterson, like Andy Reid, really any of these guys that have challenged them in the past that has a set. Matt Patricia knew how to attack them, knew it, and did it from the beginning to the end and then didn't falter. I was just reading this article in the Chicago Tribune about how, and the title is, "It's Crazy How That Can Help You, How the Bears Are Relying on the Belief to Overcome the Patriots' Mystique." The mystique. So they're less worried about what they can do about Bill and all these guys, but they're worried about the mystique.
Well, that's a big part of it, right? The Sacramento Bee, and that's where I'm getting most of this information.
but you would agree, there are teams, and I don't think the Bears, and I actually don't think the Bears are going to be one of these teams today. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I think they're going to be very competitive for four quarters today with the Patriots. But we have seen teams, Christian, and you've probably played against them, where you took the field and you knew this team is looking at the logo, they're looking at the franchise, they're looking at the Super Bowl trophies, and there's a mental, not breakdown, but there's a mental advantage before the snap, even the kickoff happens, because they see all that stuff, and they are off their game from the minute that game starts.
Yeah, and I would love to disagree with you, but that's real. That is definitely real. I remember when I was with Seattle, the Green Bay Packers, Reggie White, and that whole crew, and Brett Favre, and when he was at his youngest and his best, came into Seattle, and we just knew. The first series, they're better than us. And we had more talent. I would say we had more talent, but we had a lot of talent. And we were playing at home, and we just kind of said, well, not this year, right? And even when I played with Washington, when we came up here and played the Patriots, I remember sitting on the sideline going, oh, my God, they're so much better than us. Like, in warm-ups, we haven't even snapped the ball yet. I was like, oh, they're so – because I'm sitting there looking at what we're doing, looking at how we're running it, and I'm looking at their warm-ups going, they even warm up more efficiently than we do. Like, we're gonna get our ass kicked, and we did, So but it's funny. But some of the guys on this team, but based on that, and I think they're aware of it, which is key. I also feel like the Bears can look at the Jaguars and the Lions and say, okay, guys, they were able to do it, right? This isn't some, 500-pound gorilla that's just waiting to rip your head off. Like, no. Like, they bleed. Like, they're human. And there's guys on that team. Danny Trevathan, he played for the Broncos. He beat them twice, right? You could go to Trey Burton. He was with the Eagles last year. So he has history. Allen Robinson was with the Jaguars. Yes, they lost, but they came so close. So all those guys can sit there And they can say, listen, they can tell stories. They can give examples. They can explain to all the other guys, or even Mitch Trubisky, who was 7 years old the first time the Patriots or Tom Brady won a Super Bowl.
What about Akeem Hicks up front, who played for the Patriots?
Another one,
a
great
example. He's been on this team before, and he's thriving in that Bears defense this year.
Yeah, I'd say that this – I picked him to lose. Like, I know maybe we – I don't know if you want to wait to the end of the show, but
that's
I
okay.
picked the Patriots to lose because I'm just – And now with it looks like Gronk's not going to even play. He didn't even make the trip.
Well, he's out. I want to get your breakdown. We have 4 hours to do it today. You'll explain why you're picking the Bears to win. And I don't think it's a crazy pick this week, and Vegas doesn't. There is a lot of money on the Bears here late in the week. This is the main story today, is that Rob Gronkowski is officially out for the Patriots. The team tweeted it out about a half an hour or so ago. It was reported late last night by Ian Rappaport and others that he wasn't going to make the trip. Here's Rap Sheet this morning on the NFL Network explaining how this came about and why Gronkowski is out today for the Pats.
Well, Gronk popped up on the injury report, Colleen, with a back injury on Friday. He'd already been dealing with an ankle, now a back. And my understanding is his back locked up on him during Friday's practice. He was officially downgraded last night to doubtful. And, yeah, as you mentioned, did not take the team plane. Doubtful generally means a guy is not going to play unless he flies in day of like Superman. So that's obviously not going to happen. But there are a couple things we need to know. First of all, this is not expected to be a long-term injury for Rob Gronkowski. No lasting effects for the following week. And two, as I sent it over to Stacy, who was at this game, the Patriots have dealt with this before. They've had a couple games, plenty of games, without Gronkowski. They have an ample group of receivers. They are more than ready to adjust to this.
So his back locked up. That sounds very bad for a big tight end who's physical, good blocker, who's had an injury, sort of, I won't say track record, but he's had different types of injuries over his career in different spots. Back locking up Friday of game week does not sound like a good thing for the future.
Man, I've been there too. I remember like reaching out to Gronk years ago because he had this back injury that was just causing him a lot of problems. So I just kind of, was trying to counsel him as far as who to see. Because once you have a back problem, and he had this since he was in high school, a senior in high school, into college.
That was the reason why he dropped in the draft, correct? Because of his back. If we go back and
look,
it was the back injury.
He didn't play at all. Like, I remember when I was doing college football, we were doing a whole thing on tight ends, and Gronk was in the top five when he was at Arizona. I was like, well, this guy's not even playing. So, why is he in the top? He's not even playing. And I ignored him. But, yeah, and my thing is, once you have a back injury – you have a back injury for life. Like, it's just something that you always have to deal with. It's always there. It's always lurking. Like, I remember, just getting out of bed and my back locked up on me. I remember, I went down to do a squat with, 180 pounds, just warming up. My back locked up on me. So, and he's the same way. Like, he can be as pliable as he wants. The fact is that his back is always going to affect him, and he never knows when is it going to come, right? It's just always there, just waiting just to attack you. And I bet he got some spasms. He locked up. He probably couldn't touch his toes. And they said, and then you spend the next 24, 48 hours trying to release it, and you realize it's got a vice grip on you, and there's no way you can do it. And the last thing you want to do is sit down on a plane, even for 2 seconds. So that's a huge loss, a huge loss for them today.
I feel super, super pliable.
No, obviously not, because if he was pliable, he wouldn't have blew his – his back wouldn't have locked up on him, first off. So I'm calling BS on that whole pliability thing.
Yeah, I would just say if he didn't have the history, then you sort of – okay, it's a one-off thing, and his back hurt. He's a veteran – getting to become a veteran player. But because of the history you just talked about, because it's dogged him since his playing days, since high school – when Rappaport says, nonchalantly, oh, this is not expected to be a long-term issue, I feel like that is directly from Camp Gronk because they want to, get this out there now and not get people worried. But how can you not if you're a Patriots fan or you're the organization who knows he has a back issue? So when Rappaport says that, that just reeks of trying to calm people down.
Downplay it
versus actually knowing, okay, he'll be good to go next week against Buffalo.
It's tricky out there.
I don't know what to say. I've seen him work out last year during the summer at the gym that I go to. There's no restrictions on things that he can do. I think squats are one of the things that he doesn't want to mess with, and I would advise most people not to do them, but we'll get into that later. But other than that, he builds strength, in different ways. that protect his back, and his core is so strong. I'm just surprised that it actually came back and bit him, because that's exactly what it did. And it's there, and it could easily flare up again. It kind of sucks. It's on a Friday when you're basically having a glorified walkthrough. So what did he do? Like, honestly, like, what
did
he do?
That's a good question.
Did he get hit?
Are you still lifting on Friday at that point?
Yeah, but it's like real, like, you know, you're not going crazy. I would say, did he twist for a ball? Like, did he come in Friday morning because he was doing something kinky on Thursday night? Like, I don't know. That's a possibility, too. You know?
He's vroom, vroom, really good.
Yeah. Trying to put that leg up, you know, those, you know, you put your hand on your hip, you know, you do that whole thing.
I haven't tried that one yet. No.
I
haven't
got to that. I got 69 touchdowns.
Haven't got to that page in the book that you left here in the studio.
Yeah, you got to put your Mutt, you put your hand on your hip,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
and then you look yourself in the mirror as you do it, right? And you kind of like, it's like you need some more like thrusting power, so like you get it from your hand.
You don't do the American Psycho where you're flexing while you're looking too.
Yeah, that one too. Yeah.
Danger sex.
Yeah. Yeah, like, everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know the hand on the hip move.
Hand on the hip. Yeah, it's all in the hips.
It's all in the hip. Christian,
it doesn't work. You gotta get the hip move.
Yeah, so he's so they're in trouble today. Like, well, I honestly feel like they're in trouble.
This is where it goes back to the Red Sox and drama. So it's a World Series, so there's drama and basically at every pitch. The drama today is keeping Tom Brady upright, man. Because I thought going into today with Marcus Cannon out, and Lee Adrian Waddle starting at tackle. Like, okay, there was already going to be a concern. Khalil Mack expected to play. We talked to Schefter on Friday. He might be limited, but he's going to play. And they have other defensive players. You mentioned Hicks and other. They're a really good defensive team. We'll go through the Bears over the course of the morning. So I thought, all right, well, Gronk will stay in, and he'll block more than usual. Big Edelman game, big James White game. They'll protect him that way. Now without Gronk, you are down to Dwayne Allen because Jacob Hollister is also out today. He cannot get on the field.
Big game, Dwayne.
We'll get to the lack of depth at tight end and where the Patriots made a mistake in roster building this year. But you just have Dwayne Allen, who we know is only good at one thing, that's blocking. Your guy can't catch.
I know.
And now without Marcus Cannon, he's essentially a sixth offensive lineman.
Can I trade him in? I would like to pick another player.
Sure, you can go. The problem right now is there are no other tight ends in the roster. Hollister and Gronk are out. Dwayne Allen is your lone healthy tight end today available to protect and block against Khalil Mack and a very good Bears defensive front that has racked up defensive stats all year. That's a scary proposition because you can't. So you can't run on the Bears. They're fourth best in the entire league in stopping the run. Like that, you can't run on Chicago. So Michelle is essentially out of the game. You are left passing against them with Brady and shotgun, no Gronk, no Marcus Cannon. That is a scary proposition to keep Tom Brady healthy today.
You know what else you don't even have? Like, usually the Patriots have like Michael Williams. Remember Michael Williams was that? He was a tight end at Alabama, went to Detroit. They turned him into a tackle, but he was really, he was like a tackle. Like, they never, you know, he was a tackle / tight end. So the Patriots used him as a tight end, but really he never went out. I think he caught one pass as a check down. And usually they have like those extra, like Cameron Fleming was that guy. Like, you're going to be the tight end. Okay. Now Dwayne Allen is going to be the guy in the hip position. Like, he's going to be the H tight end. And they use that guy as an extra blocker because the other tight ends can't block. And if you take away Gronk and you take away Marcus Cannon, now Waddle is your starter.
Yep.
You don't have one of those guys. So you talk about depth and then what you can do. Like, I don't even think they can do that because, I mean, they're going to be limited in what they can do. It doesn't mean that the Bears will be able to slow them down. But as a defender, you're waking up this morning going, okay, I don't have to worry about 25% of their offense. 25% is out now. I'm done. It's so much easier. It's like waking up in the morning and realizing that, Peyton Manning wasn't playing. Like, what? He's like, oh my God, this is, or Reggie White. I remember like people would get the Reggie White flu. Like they didn't want to play against him, but he never got the flu. So I just think that's one of those things where they're in such a more confident position now, the Bears defense, knowing that Gronk isn't there.
Well, I mean, it makes it a lot easier for Chicago to defend the Patriots. And if you obviously picked the Bears to win on Friday, you're in a much better spot now because the Patriot offense, to see what they're going to do with the Bears pressuring them, without Gronkowski and without Marcus Cannon, are they willing to sit Brady and shotgun all day and pass against Chicago and dink and dunk their way down the field? That seems like the best way to approach them. or are they going to try to protect Tom Brady today? And I have no idea what the answer is. I don't even know what the right plan of attack would be, because I know on paper you can't run on him, so you got to throw. But is Tom Brady throwing 45 times against this Bears defense, no Gronkowski, no Cannon? Is that the best thing for the Patriots long term to put him in that position?
That's what the Dolphins did. I should say that's what Brock Osweiler did. Like, so Ryan Tannehill comes down with something.
Well, I think Brock Osweiler is more mobile than Brady at this point in his career.
But you've seen Brock Osweiler plenty of times. Like, the guy's not a great quarterback.
Not very good. Yeah.
He has this long. Yeah, he can run, but he's not like a. I don't know. I don't consider him like a running quarterback. Yeah, he's everyone's faster than Brady. But when I went back and looked at that film, if you remember all the wide receivers that the Dolphins have. Right, from Stills to Grant to Wilson to the young tight end they have, Frank Gore. What they did is they dinked and dunked. They got rid of that football so fast, Brock Osweiler did. And then once they got the ball into the hands of their receivers, did most of the work. And that's why the Bears found themselves in such a crappy position, because they couldn't tackle in space. So that's exactly what you just said. That's exactly what they should do. I don't think they can run on this team. I don't. You can look at what they did, the offensive line did against the crappy defenses, okay? They're not going to do that to this Bears team. They won't. Everyone runs on the Kansas City Chiefs. Anyone can run on the Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
The Miami Dolphins, they were able to run on the Miami Dolphins because everybody was hurt. So the timing worked out. So when I started looking at this game, I'm like, this is a – and then add the fact that the Bears were completely humiliated on the road. And now they're playing at home. And yet they still believe that they have the right mixture, right? They still believe that they got the right personality. Nobody's bitching and complaining. You know, everybody's on the same page. You need that. That is the formula. Because what are you going to do? Like, just, you know, sit there with Dwayne Allen on there? No, you put all your wide receivers out there and you dink and dunk them.
That puts Brady in a weird spot. Not a weird spot, a really precarious spot. But against that defensive front, Christian, I know what you're saying, and what you're saying makes 100% sense. And it's on paper, you would say, yep, that's easy. Sure, fine. He's their most important player, and if he doesn't get the ball out, Chicago is getting to Tom Brady today if he doesn't get the ball out. I know he never gets hurt, and Tom Brady's never gets injured except for that one knee injury. This feels like a game where they better make sure they protect their quarterback, because the Bears are coming. You know, that defense, they are going to blitz on Tom Brady, even if that's the case. They missed tackles last week against Albert Wilson, of all people, in that Miami secondary. But they were making Osweiler run around a little bit defensively. And I know on paper it's the way to do it.
They have one advantage. They have one the one disadvantage I see. Okay, the one area when I look at the Bears defense, I say, okay, this is where they should attack. They should attack the edge, and that edge would be Leonard Floyd, number 94. He's 6'6", he's 245 pounds, he's tall, he's skinny. He can be pushed around. Like, Trent Brown can push him around, literally engulf him. Now, their linebackers can run, but I still think that the backs can get to the edge. I don't see them running at Khalil Mack. You're going to lose that battle. Like 90%, 95% of the time you'll lose. You want to get to the edge? You go to Leonard Floyd. That's the way you go. And inside, I think you're going to be hard pressed to go inside also. I just do. So now, I don't know. Like, I just feel like the way this is setting up, it's really playing into the hands of the Bears. Just the more I think about it.
Certainly this injury is going to be a major factor. It's affecting the line in Vegas. We'll come back and talk about that. And we'll open up the phones this morning to see if people are as concerned about this game as Christian and I seem to be. I wonder if Patriot fans are looking past Chicago or think they can give the Pats a challenge today. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Rich Keefe on the bye. So it's Mutt and Foray here, NFL Sunday. We'll do a lot of football today. We'll mix in some World Series conversation as well, because the World Series is set now. Red Sox and Dodgers game one on Tuesday. But we'll come back more from we'll hear more from the NFL Network. Some good follow-ups by Stacey Dales on the injury to Rob Gronkowski, and we'll get to your phone calls. Mutt and Foray, NFL Sunday, Sports Radio,
NFL Sunday with Foray, Mutt and Keefe is presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, insurance simplify. Check out Kaplansky.com today. And co-sponsored by Anderson McQuaid Architectural Moldings, your New England Kubota tractor dealers, and by Boston Volkswagen. Back to NFL Sunday on Sports Radio WEEI.
know with the Patriots, it's always the cliche, next man up, but that's the reality. As far as the Gronk situation, and you think about a back injury, whether it's a spasm or it tightens up or seizes up on you, he just didn't feel well enough to get on the airplane with the team. The reason they didn't actually declare him out last night was because there was still a very slim chance, and he is Rob Gronkowski after all, that there was a possibility he could wake up on Sunday morning today and feel better, given the nature of the back injury, which we don't specifically know. That being said, I'm told by the team they'll make a declaration sometime around, I would say, 9 o'clock Central Time. If he were to take a private jet and that 10% of him playing did live, per se, here today, that would be a possibility. They'd have to do it, obviously. It's a two-hour flight from the New England area to the Chicago area.
All right, so obviously that is not going to happen. You're waking up this morning. Rob Gronkowski is out, according to the Patriots. His back locked up on Friday. Ian Rappaport, in his initial reporting on this, says, no big deal. He'll be okay for next week. If you're a Patriots fan, that is awfully hard to take at face value and say, oh, no big deal. Gronk's got a back injury. He's back for Buffalo next Monday night because of the history that Christian talked about going back to his high school days and just the bumps and bruises Christian he's had over his career. To add this in late in the week, it just doesn't, to me, it doesn't bode well. Maybe it ends up being nothing, but hard to imagine it's nothing based on his history with that injury.
Well, I mean, we just got to go back because, you know, this I don't know who was the young lady who was actually given the
Stacy Dales.
Stacy Dales. Okay?
Yes,
like,
yes.
There's more
former
of them,
college
of
hoops
Dales.
Player, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's like, God, he is Rob Gronkowski, so like he can wake up and he's Superman, right? Oh, you never know. Gronk blew his back out and he'll be fine because he is Rob Gronkowski. He can walk on water. Like, give me a break. Like, he's going to hop on some private jet. Like,
well,
she's so silly.
She doesn't sound like like Glenn. No offense. You just made her sound
everybody
like
sounds like Glenn to me, okay? So just, yeah, men, women, kids, it doesn't matter. No, it was just comical because it was like, yeah, well, he is Rob Gronkowski, you know, he can just do anything, right? Because he has superpowers and
you know
he'll just will himself to be healthy.
You know what's a good way to minimize the hysteria over an injury? Pretend that he was almost going to make the flight out, right? This makes it seem like it's not a bigger injury than.
Yeah, he was really close.
He was so close. He was going to get on a private jet and fly from Fort Devens out to Chicago and play in this game. But, oh, you know what? They'll keep him ready for next week in Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. We were going to get a private jet. Yeah, it's just like, oh, please. That doesn't happen. Like, if he's not making the trip, he ain't going, right? So what's to say he woke up, like, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning? He's like, oh, you know what? Listen, I feel fine. You know, I feel perfect. I can put, what is he going to, like, call a craft and say, hey, send the helicopter?
He
you know,
is
send
Rob
the jet?
Gronkowski after all.
That's right. He is Rob Gronkowski after all. Honestly, what does that mean? What am I supposed to take from that? Like, whatever. Like, I just, whatever. Like, stop it. Like, he ain't playing.
And this goes back to, I would say, we'll get to the calls here in a second. It's 617-779-7937. Gronk is out. They did this really smart thing for a couple of years by signing a co-tight end in Martellus Bennett, who they had here for issues like this. When Rob Gronkowski could not go, they had somebody else, and this was always the thing with Gronk. They had Aaron Hernandez, obviously, prior to that. They had, for a while, different tight ends. Now, they had to scramble at times, and Scott Chandler, they hope would be that guy, and he failed Scott here Chandler. In New England for the most part. But they always had somebody sort of in waiting for Gronk when these things popped up. They have Hollister, who's out today, and he's only been a receiving back, and he's disappointed based on what everyone thought he was going to be. And they only have Dwayne Allen. So they decided not to have that, call it, backup co-tight end here. And now they're left with just Dwayne Allen available today on the road against a very, we think, frisky Bears team in Week 7. I'd say it's a roster flaw, and it's not going to surprise me in the next week or so, heading up into the trade deadline next week or the week after, if they try to sniff around for a tight end here, Christian, because back injuries linger, and if Dwayne Allen and Jacob Hollister are the next guys up, you're lacking depth at that position.
Yeah,
no,
when you talk about the roster building, like Dwayne Allen, I think they really kind of screwed him. I feel like Dwayne Allen really screwed him. I really feel like they thought they were getting a guy that was going to really contribute. You know, and like Martellus Bennett. And then I think the fact that they traded for him, they were stuck with that contract, kind of limited them as far as what they can do. And he did restructure his contract, but they didn't cut him. And they kept him on the team, so they didn't really eat any money because he agreed to take a pay cut. But he's the one that screwed him because he's useless. He legitimately is useless. They won't throw to him ever. like ever.
Well, that's a Brady trust thing, right? That's one of these guys that lost Brady's trust with those drops early last year, and he's just not gained it back ever.
The very first throw, Mutt, the very first throw was a flat route. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was like, wow, okay, they're throwing the ball right away. He dropped it. And then they threw him again, dropped it. Then he didn't even see it. It was like, it was amazing how quickly Brady was like, nope, no thank you.
You didn't like the tight end screen, Christian?
See, that to me was like, that was just bad luck. So he's doing all this work. He's blocking, he's blocking, he's blocking. So they throw him a bone. All right, listen, hey, Dwayne, you've been blocking like crazy. No one's ever going to think we're going to throw a tight end screen to you. So what do? They throw a tight end screen. And what does the defensive tackle, that lazy sumbitch, do? What does he do? He falls right into the play. So, I don't know. Like, the guy, like, even when they set up a play exactly for it to succeed, that was a play that was scripted for success, and it didn't work. So, what would you do if you were an offensive coordinator? Like, keep going back to the well? Like, I'll just keep trying to find ways to get the ball to Dwayne Allen? No. You just figure out a way how to, like, just hide him. How can I hide him?
Well, today they hide him on the offensive line. He's there just to block today. With no Marcus Cannon, no Rob Gronkowski, I guess occasionally you send him out on a pass route to give some sort of threat. But if I'm the Bears, I'm ignoring him. And forget hiding him. I don't have to worry about him. He's going to be in to block and protect Tom Brady, and that's it. They're going to throw to Edelman and Gordon and James White and the usual suspects. But it's not going to be a tight end because this guy is not proven to be a legit receiver for Brady.
No, and also think about it. So the whole week, Gronk missed Friday's practice, right?
Is that what it locked up Friday. I don't know what is Friday's a walkthrough usually, right?
Well, I mean, it's a
check
red
the timeline,
zone,
Matt, Ryan.
No, it's a red zone, third down, and basically recap, right? But a lot of red zone passing and stuff like that. But a big chunk of your game plan goes in on Friday. You're just not – nobody's, like, really being aggressive. But you still need to know what to do. The timing is still there. So think about it. So Gronk's gone. Dwayne Allen's taken none of those reps. None of them. And Hollister's not there, so he's not taking any of those reps either. And Dwayne Allen just – he's not allowed to take them. Like, they'd rather switch personnel groups instead of let him run that route. So maybe – they keep the game plan. This is one thing the Patriots were always able to do. And like when guys got hurt, they wouldn't necessarily change the game plan. They would just change the personnel. So
how do you do that with this?
Well,
there is no one to even mimic what Rob Gronkowski does.
Well, not the blocking plays. It would be the passing plays. They would still keep the passing plays in, but they would just – I don't even know who would take a spot. I mean, I guess Philip Dorsett, maybe Josh Gordon would end up taking his routes. Especially the ones on the inside, like for like a bigger receiver, like Dorsett wouldn't necessarily do it. You just have to, you know, you adjust on the run. Sudden change is what you do. And then those guys, because you still want to call those plays, but then you sit there going, well, if Gronk's not in there, they're not going to give us the same coverage. They're not going to double Gronk. They're not going to vice Gronk with a linebacker and a safety like they did against the Kansas City Chiefs, like the Kansas City Chiefs did against them. So it really, in one hand, it's a little bit challenging because you already put the game plan in. On the other hand, you're going to get more favorable looks, right, from the defense. And then your guys got to win.
It's going to be up to the guys on the outside. 617-779-7937, the phone number. No Gronk today against the Bears. We're talking about it here on NFL Sunday. Joe is in New Bedford. He's up on WEEI. Good morning, Joe.
So, fellas.
What's up, Joe?
Sorry, it's a little noisy where I am.
That's okay, buddy.
That Gronk injury is obviously inconvenient as far as we are concerned. I agree, he's more or less useless. But it's obviously going to mean that the defense is going to probably focus on Julian Edelman, in my opinion. But what I think people are overlooking, and leading up to the fact that I think that Josh Gordon is going to have a big game, and I think it's going to have a lot to do still with James White and Sony Michel. Right? The run defense is probably the weakest part of this defense. They got 10 interceptions in the secondary between all their players. That they're decent defense as far as run is concerned. They give up 110 yards per game. With the running cannon that we have, especially with White catching out of the backfield, I think the linebackers are going to have to focus on that a great deal and open up the middle of the field for Gordon. Just because the defense is obviously going to focus on Edelman. They know the Brady-Edelman connection, and I think Gordon's going to have the biggest game of the year so far.
Well, I thought there was a big flash from Gordon last week, Joe, and thanks for the call. We'll get to him in a second. But just to follow up, the Bears are not that bad defensively against the run. They're fourth in the NFL in run defense. They allow like 89 yards a game on the ground. They're a very, very good run defense. And I'd be shocked if Sony Michel or James White has a huge game on the ground. I could certainly see James White having a big game catching the ball in the backfield for Tom Brady today. But I thought his point about Gordon, I thought my biggest takeaway, okay, obviously they came back and it was a big win, but looking at the plays they ran for Gordon, the deep shots they took, the slant route they ran out of the gate, I thought that was a sign last week, Christian, that he has the chance to be Randy Moss-like impactful on this offense, the way they treated him early in that game. And I didn't notice it as the game was happening. If you go back and watch his plays, even the play he broke up, they threw a deep ball and he saved an interception there. They unleashed Gordon last week to some extent, and maybe it's not this week, but going forward, I do think the caller's right. He's got a chance to be an explosive player in this offense.
Yeah, you said it, but I just feel like he's limited in what he can do. Like you said it right, the go routes. Okay, he can run a go route, slant routes. There's no adjustment to it. He's badass at that. He's big. He's strong. He's physical. There's no adjustment. The routes, like the comebacks on third down, the middle reads where he's got to find the voids and sit in the hole. He can't do that. Like he flat out can't do it. Three weeks in a row, he's messed up on the exact same route, the exact same way too. So I'm sitting there going, why is Brady still throwing him the ball? The same exact route. It's a deep comeback. It's a third down. He has to adjust based on the distance between him and the corner and the first down marker. So it's a third down play. He's running a go. He's got to adjust it based on the time and space. And he doesn't do it. He's always late, and the ball is always behind him. Always behind him. It's so obvious. It's ridiculous. Yet he keeps throwing it to him. He keeps throwing it to him. But the slant routes, all day long. Go routes, all day long. Routes that say run-for-nothing routes, all day long. I haven't seen him. You'll never see him do what Edelman does. You'll never see him do
what— But
he's
not the type of receiver, right? I mean, it's a different skill set that he brings on the outside than, say, Edelman on the inside. Those option— he's not going to run, like you said, Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman routes where they're on the same page. But
I know, but how good can he really be then, right? I mean, so how good can he really be? It's like Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, he's limited, right? He only does a couple things.
You can't compare those two.
Well, I'm comparing the fact that he does have a high ceiling, but he's just, right now, he's just not smart enough. He doesn't get it yet. So, to me, his ceiling is low because he doesn't have the ability. Well, he hasn't yet. I haven't seen it once. I've watched every single game multiple times. He doesn't know what he's doing.
And maybe today's not the day because they're not going to have a lot of focus on the tight end position. But on a day where Edelman and Gronkowski and James White are all out there, doesn't that leave Josh Gordon one-on-one with a cornerback that he's likely to beat in man-to-man anytime he wants to? That to me is where he ends up being the Randy Moss-like weapon. Today might not be that day because there's no safety coverage on Gronk. You don't worry about Dwayne Allen. And so you got a safety and a cornerback worrying about Josh Gordon. But on a normal day, I think we saw a flash of this last week, one-on-one coverage, he can beat pretty much anybody. And they don't have anyone else on the outside on this roster that can do that. These are inside receivers. Even Cordarrelle Patterson, for as fast as he is, he runs fast guys. He doesn't beat guys.
Yeah.
Gordon can beat guys.
Yeah. If you Patterson, he's so fast. You see him get the edge. I will say this. So Gordon, to your point, he would have an automatic green light adjustment for go routes. Like if anyone dares, you'll see it. If anyone seriously dares to cover him one-on-one with no safety help, Brady will automatically alert it. He may not even give you a visual cue. He may, like, as far as, like, you know, touching his helmet, saying alert. He may just look at you, right? You see it. I see it. Get going. I'm throwing it, right? So, but does Brady trust him for that? Because to me, that's part of it. That's part of making the big plays. Like, you got to be able to know what he wants you to do. Like, I've seen so many great athletes. Like, Brady gives them that high sign. And they go, oh, crap. Okay, I have two options. Right, and they end up picking the wrong one, and the ball ends up either hitting them in the back of the head or it's incomplete. Not saying my point is I just haven't seen it yet. So anything that he gets is going to be real simple, because he's just got to let him be an athlete, just get the ball in his hands.
617-779-7937, the phone number. It's NFL Sunday. We'll talk some baseball as the morning goes on. Our World Series coverage here on WEEI, brought to you by your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Tommy Curran will join us as well as we get you set for Pats and Bears, 1 o'clock kick in Chicago.
More on NFL Sunday right now with Christian Fourier, Rich Keefe, and Mike Mutnatsky on Sports Radio WEEI.
Gronkowski has lower yards per game than he typically has, and one touchdown so far this year. Is there anything you'd attribute that sort of slower start to for him?
Yeah, I'm really just worried about this game, trying to go out there and beat Chicago. So we're going to focus on, if we score enough points, hold them to not fewer, then we'll win. That's the goal.
What you can chalk up maybe his past games too is that the final product is...
No, I'm just telling you, like, our goal is not to go out there and create stats for an individual player. Like, we just don't think that way. We try to go out and win the game. So whatever we need to do to win the game, then that's what our goal is. Our goal is not to create individual stats. That's just not how we do it.
Sure. Excellent. Good line of questioning, you think about it. That was Bill Belichick earlier this week, not want to get into it. And that's another factor that I really hadn't thought about with this injury. Rob Gronkowski will not play today. Patriots and Bears, 1 o'clock in Chicago, ruled out this morning by the Patriots. He took another one of these deals where he needs to meet or surpass three of the four targets to earn playing time or a bonus for next year, potentially $3.3 million in incentives. 80% playing time, which is much tougher to hit when you miss a game like this. Mm-hmm. 70 receptions, 1,085 receiving yards, and or 9 touchdowns. And right now he's got 26 catches for 400 yards and 1 touchdown so far this year. It seems very unlikely. A tight end football, which he could have been, if he had reached all these incentives, it slips by the wayside when you lose games like this, and it does factor into you wonder, is this why they're holding out hope? Was Gronk telling the team, Christian, I can play, I can play, I can play, I can get out there because I want to hit these incentives and make some money?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how that wouldn't be part of the equation, like how bummed and pissed off he would be. But if he's not, being on the field, being on the trip, doesn't give him his incentives. He still has to play. He's still far, way behind schedule with his touchdowns, his receptions, his yards. He won't get them. It's just the way things have been for him so far, unless he goes on this crazy, second half surge, which I don't think he will either. But yeah, of course he wants. Are you kidding me? That's what that whole Instagram, like, bands that make her dance was about in the first place. That wasn't about him just wanting attention. He wanted more money, and he didn't want it tied to any sort of incentive. Especially, with his injury history. So, yeah, I don't know. It's he can't be happy right now.
So it's become a thing now where people are not just looking at, Brady and Gronk and how they're playing, but are they going to reach their incentives? And, is the team doing anything to help them? And you heard Belichick right there. He wanted no part of it. Well, the problem is you sign these players to deals, Christian, that are tied into incentives. You're going to be asked about on-field production for those players because you didn't want to guarantee them their money, and you built their bonuses into stuff that happens in the field. You get asked these questions about that. And I guarantee Team Gronk today is factoring this into him not playing today. And Team Gronk will talk to media, and it's not going to surprise me if, at some point we hear about the frustration that he's not going to hit these incentives this year. It's not the team's fault. It's an injury thing here. But this is what happens when you build contracts like this in the NFL.
He is Rob Gronkowski, after all.
Oh, my God. Thank totally. You, like, he'll be able to catch up because he is Rob Gronkowski. And it's funny because when you were saying that, I was like, what would make a guy like that actually sit there and go, oh, okay, I have another injury. I don't feel like fighting through it. Like, I mean, if I know I'm not going to reach my incentives, it's easier for me to take more games off, right? Because I'm going to get my base salary anyways. And if I'm not if I'm close to my incentives, I'm going to find a way to stay on the field and fight through it. But if there's no way I'm going to get them, I'm just taking an extra couple games off. That's what I'm doing. And I don't know, most guys would probably do the same because then why ruin yourself for a regular season game when you already know you're going to be in the playoffs? Like, it just doesn't make any sense, right? So
By the way, that ends up being the best thing for the team as well if you think about it. So if Gronk's not going to reach the incentives and they end up backing off of him the second half of the year and focusing on getting him healthy for the playoffs, that's the best thing for them. The worst thing is that he goes out there, is trying to play through injuries to get those incentives because he thinks he can still reach them and ends up having a real severe injury where he does eventually miss playoff time. Because the reality is this goes back to the drama of the Red Sox postseason run versus the Patriots right now. The drama for the Patriots is, what seed are we going to get? Okay, we're 1 or 2 seed. Now after that, are Brady and Gronk healthy? I mean, that essentially is it. I guess Edelman to an extent now. That's the drama. So if it works out where your point, he's not going to get the incentives. They back off a little bit. He takes the foot off the accelerator for the back half of the year and then is healthy for a playoff run. That ends up being better for the team in the long run, if you think about
it. Yeah, and plus it makes him look smart as hell. You know, look, we shut this guy up. You know, we gave him some extra incentives, and we know it. And there was a reason why we weren't doing it. Hell, I just saw, you know, Malcolm Butler just get burned on a 75-yard touchdown by T.Y. Williams. But no, it goes with what we're talking about. Like point Patriots again. Hey, listen, you didn't re-sign this guy. He's like one of the worst corners in the league
right
now.
He's had an awful year this year.
He gets torched like left and right all the time. Big plays, and it's just crazy, right? It just like the decisions that the Patriots make. And it's funny. I was even talking to Rob Ninkovich the other day, and he was talking about we're still on contract talk, right? Making the right decisions. So yeah. No squirrel moment.
Good.
How like he was like the Patriots wanted him to come back, and he wasn't really sure, and you know, he was an older player, and he wanted a certain amount of money. And Bill was like, we've never played X amount of dollars for a guy your age. Like, they just weren't going to budge, right? So he's like, well, then I don't need to play. So, and even though they needed him, they just weren't going to – they had their mentality, they had their philosophy, and it didn't matter how desperate they were. They still weren't going to break protocol. It's just amazing the amount of, like, I guess, just patience they have.
Stick with it.
Well, it's not patience. It's what's the word? I can't even think of the word now.
It's like foresight. Like they kind of see the writing on the wall
really.
With these guys.
It's foresight's not it either.
The word is discipline.
There you go, Mike.
They have a cost discipline with these guys. And I was as loud as anybody screaming from the rooftops to how they effed up this Malcolm Butler situation. Through 6-7 weeks, he's not playing well. I think I'd still take him over Jason McCourty.
But he was getting torched last year. All the time he was getting torched. And he usually ended up making up for it on another play. But teams attacked him and challenged him all the time. Going back to preseason, like the very first preseason game when they played against the Jaguars, I forgot who the rookie was, rookie receiver, torched him on like the first play. And then everyone took their shot on him, and everybody was successful. But the team was so good, they were able to score points, and they kind of, you know, leveled the playing field a little bit more because they were playing with a lead, and they were able to get after the quarterback. So that kind of, I think that hit a bunch of inefficiencies that he had. But everybody took their shots on him, and everybody was successful.
All right, so Rob Gronkowski will not play today. That's the news you need to know this morning. Patriots and Bears 3 hours away in Chicago. We're talking about it at 617-779-7937, the phone number. Alex Cora is going to speak over at Fenway Park. We'll pop into some of that later on this hour. World Series is set. Red Sox and Dodgers game one on Tuesday. Tommy Kern will join us as well. We'll come back, and I want to get sort of a state of the Patriots, because Christian made a good point off the top. The Patriots have basically been in the background last couple of weeks with this Red Sox run through the Yankees and the Astros. We'll take a temperature on where they are heading into a very important game today, a game where I think a lot of us think is going to be a close game and a losable game for the Patriots in Chicago. We'll do that next. NFL Sunday, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.